going to pray with you too before I turn you loose here. I got a message this morning on Facebook from Florida Carrie, and she wanted to know how she could hear Jacob on the message that he's sharing today. Well, Jake's sister lives down in Florida and wants to know what's going on here. So we've got, hopefully she's tuned in and she's watching, and so we've got a microphone so that we can get a little more power to the little camera we've got back there, and so it can be heard a little bit more clearly. So let me pray with you, brother, before we turn you loose here, all right? Father, thank you so much for the heart that Jake and Holly have for the world and for that part of the world there in Cameroon and the ministry that you've raised them up to lead there. We pray your continued wisdom for them, Father, and provision as they move forward. And now, Lord, as they share with us today their ministry, I pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to rest mightily upon them, Father, and that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us today concerning their ministry. Bless this time together, Father, and encourage all of us about the ministry that you have for each one of us and how we can better serve you in this world that needs you so desperately. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to share with us today. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. And amen. All right, Blake.
Appreciate it.
You share as the Lord leads you, all right?
Thank you.
Sir.
All right, once again, good morning to everyone.
Good morning.
And I just want to say what a blessing it is to just be able to stand up here and be able to share really what God's been doing in our lives. Just standing behind a pulpit, I know it's a sacred thing to be able to give this up and to allow somebody to come and, yeah, just share God's heart with you. So I think we've been introduced already, but maybe I guess reintroduce myself. I'm Jake Schlingsky. I'm here this morning with my wife, Holly, and my son, Joshua, that's been going here for a couple years, and then Jordan's downstairs. We have Jude with us, and then Seth went back with my mom that was here a couple weeks ago down to Florida to enjoy some of the sun down there and get away from the rain, I think, up here. Well, I guess they went down there and got Elsa or whatever, but enjoyed a bit of the sun down there. So just want to say a huge thanks to the church for giving us this opportunity to just share with you what God's doing. So as you've heard, we're missionaries in Cameroon, Africa. We've been missionaries there for about 17 years. We first went over in Cameroon back in 2000. Holly and I just finished Bible school. We got married. She was 19. I was 20 years old. We were ready for an adventure, and we wanted to do an internship to Cameroon. Went to Cameroon and just fell in love with Cameroon, fell in love with the people, and we just felt that that was where God was going to lead us in the future. So we came back after a year in Cameroon, had our kids, Josh and Seth. We weren't brave enough yet to have our kids in Cameroon or in Africa yet, but we said, let's go back after Seth turned two. Went back and kind of been there ever since. Jude and Jordan both were born in Cameroon, and so they're kind of Cameroonians, I guess. They are Cameroonians. So it's still working on their texture of skin color, but they are true Africans. So, but you might be thinking, where is Cameroon? I heard it's in Africa. Africa is a pretty big, almost said country, pretty big continent. Thank you very much. And Cameroon is actually, if you picture Africa, how does Africa look? This way. If you picture Africa, kind of goes down like this and then goes down to South Africa, comes back around. Cameroon is right in the armpit of Africa. It's kind of, they call it the hinge of Africa, but I like to call it the armpit of Africa. And Cameroon in a whole is called Africa in miniature. Cameroon has the oceans, it has the mountains, it has the deserts, it has the plains, it has the forest. Every aspect of Africa is found in Cameroon. It's lovely, it's fantastic. And really, Cameroon is roughly the size of California in size-wise. And there's about 19 million people in Cameroon in total. And out of that 19 million, there's about 1.3 million orphans in Cameroon. So it's like over one-eighteenth of the population has been orphaned in Cameroon. And they say about one-third of that population was orphaned because of the AIDS virus, pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, virus that goes around. So pretty crazy to think that one-eighteenth of the population has been orphaned and things like that. But we just fell in love with Cameroon. Our first year in Cameroon, we actually applied for a residence permit in Cameroon. We were blessed with 10 years residence permit, and we just knew that, God, this is where you wanted us to go and spend our life in missions. Both Holly and I, from when we were quite young, going on mission trips in the summer, we felt God calling us to full-time missions. And once we got that, we said, this is the place that we really believe that God's going to lead us back to. So we went back over in 2004. We actually spent some few years in 2004 working with church planting, working with youth ministry, working with other orphanages as well, and we've seen a huge need for really a good, solid, Christian-based orphanage that was giving out the care and the love to children and not just having an institution that kids can come into. You shove this many kids in a room, you call it an orphanage, and then the care isn't really there. We wanted to really develop a home for these children to give them an opportunity in life to experience what real life is all about, but not just life in general, but what life in Christ was all about. So in 2008, we started Helping Hands Children's Home. We actually started with only three children. We found a couple parents in Cameroon, or ma and pa, and we just started an orphanage. We never done an orphanage before, never knew what to really expect to run in an orphanage, but we said, Lord, we know that you're giving us kind of that heartbeat of orphans in Cameroon. Lord, we want you to move forward with us and show us what to do. So in 2008, we started with those three children, and then we just began to grow from there, and today we have 37 children that are under our care. And five of them actually graduated out. They're doing internships. They're doing apprenticeships. And some are going to the university and whatnot. You'll hear a little bit more about them a bit later. But we also are blessed with six full-time staff that are there working full-time with these children and taking care of them. We want these children raised knowing who they are, not in Christ, but even, or not only in Christ, but also as a Cameroonian. We're not going to Cameroon to make little Americans or to change their culture or to say this is the way you should live, but to put them back in their own environment, come alongside Cameroonians and help them assist raising these children in the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. So I'd like to show a quick little video here that's kind of just going to give you a little background of what the ministry is doing. This video was actually made about 5 years ago when we came last time on furlough. This time, because you'll hear about the crisis that's going on in Cameroon, we haven't been able to do much videoing and prepare something new and afresh because nothing has really changed too much in the aspect of ministry-wise. So we want to show a video that we did about 5 years ago and enjoy. And then Holly will come up.
My name is Blessing. My name is Ngumako Jo Isaiah. I'm from Ngi.
My name is Mali. I'm 10 years old.
My name is Nestor. And I'm from the village of Nwa.
Hi, I'm called Gabu Miranda from Tabungari. I am from 3 and I'm 18 years old.
I'm 16 years old. I'm from Ngi.
I've been in Helping Hands for 4 years. My favorite subject in school is math.
I love this place because before I came here, I could not read, but now I can read. I've learned a lot from this place.
My favorite subject in school is math because math helped me to calculate most of the things we do. I want to become a pilot when I get older.
I love being here. It's a great privilege for me to be among Happy Young Students Home. So I'm so thankful for what God has done in my life. It's a great miracle in my life. So I was in the village. I was not going to school, but here I'm going to school. So I'm so thankful for that.
In my free time, I like playing guitars, playing football or soccer. Then in school, I've been studying some subjects, but my favorite subject would be math, physics, biology, and chemistry.
I want to be an accountant in future, and I love doing accounting. That's my best subject in school. Coming to Helping Hands, I was not a Christian. I came to Helping Hands, I became a Christian in 2009, when Antoni was preaching in Bible study, he asked who wants to give her life to Christ, and I stood up, and that's when I gave my life to Christ.
When I was in the village, I did not have the opportunity to go to church, but now I have my Bible, I read my Bible every day and I go to church every Sunday.
Coming to Helping Hands Children's Home, my life has changed positively because when I was living out in the village, I did not know Christ that way. But when I came here, I came to know how who Christ is in my life, and by studying the Bible, I've understood, and I'm trusting in Him. I know that He's going to take me somewhere.
And my best Bible story is of David. I love of that Bible story because it teaches us how to be obedient, how David grew up being a shepherd, and he became a king.
Jesus is my father because the Bible says that in Jeremiah 29:11, that's my best verse. It says, the Lord has a plan for us, and if you call Him anytime, that He is for us, and that He has a plan not to harm us, but a plan to give us a future and hope. And that's why I love God.
When I reach the today, my day to pray for me, and I keep my life alive, and I feel that He should be with me.
When I came to Helpians, I wasn't a Christian, but now I've given my life to Christ. Now I'm a believer. I'm a child of God now. I've seen how life in Jesus is. So now I'm not in the world. I'm now in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is my Savior. He's a King of Kings in my life. He's the one who brought me out of iniquity. So now I'm saved by Him. He's my Lord and Savior. He's my everything in life.
So I hope that gave you guys just a little bit of a taste of what our life is like in Cameroon and what our children are like in Helping Hands Children's Home. Also showed the Bible school there and some other things that we're doing. I'm going to share just a couple of stories of some of the children that we have in Helping Hands Children's Home. All of them have come from various villages up in the northwest of Cameroon. Most of them have come from pretty extreme situations of neglect or malnourishment, whatever it may be. And so it's just amazing to see when we bring these children in, how they just flourish and grow and just do so well once they get the love, the care that they need, once they get what they need, learn about Jesus and just grow up. So we're just so proud of these children. Some of them have had some hardships in life, but they just keep persevering and going forward. So we're going to click through some photos here. Let me see who this is. I don't know if you can see on the bottom there, that's little baby Promise. We got her when she was 10 days old. Her mother died during childbirth. And there was nobody to look after, and somebody got a hold of us and said, there's this little baby girl that nobody's taking care of. Is there any way you can take her? She was severely dehydrated and underweight, but within just about a month, you can see the change of Promise, just flourished and did wonderful. And now the next picture will show you Promise today. She's doing fantastic. She's about 6 years old now, going to school, and just the sweetest little girl possible. We love our Promise. We'll go to the next picture. This is Ornella, who was speaking inside in the video, who has cerebral palsy. So Ornella's had a pretty tough life. She was living in another orphanage before as a younger girl. And there are a lot of superstitions and traditions in Cameroon. And often when you have a disability, there's a lot of superstition about it. People started accusing Ornella of being a witch at about 10 years of age. And basically, anytime something bad happened inside the orphanage or the house, she would get beaten for it. If, you know, the food got spoiled because it overcooked, she would be blamed for that. Or if a kid got sick, she would be blamed for that. And they would often beat her because of that. Eventually, she was beaten so badly, she was put in the hospital, and that's when the American Embassy reached out to us. They thought they had broken her arm. Thankfully, it wasn't, but we just praise God we were able to bring her out of that awful situation, bring her into Helping Hands Children's Home, and just love on her and give her the care that she needed. Like she mentioned in the video, she did surrender her life to Christ, and it wasn't an easy decision to forgive those that had been so mean to her, but she did. Now she's going to school. She has a computer that she can write on and easily communicate with people and express herself easily, and it's just wonderful to see what's inside of her that's kind of been trapped for so long and now coming out and just overflowing with love and compassion for other people. We know the Lord has a wonderful plan for this young lady. She's almost 19 now, and she has a couple more years to finish school. She's a little bit behind because of coming to us later, but we know God just has his hand upon her and has a special plan for her. Oh yeah, that's Ornella today. She's doing fantastic. Okay, we'll go to the next picture. Okay, it's a little bit dark, but these are two sisters that we got. We got Blessing in the front and then little baby Glory in the back. They were living in the village with their grandma, who you can see in the back there too. Their mother is what in Cameroon they would call a mad woman, somebody that has mental issues, and she had epilepsy. And when Glory was very little, she was down washing clothes by the river, and she fell into the river and had a fit, and nobody saved her, and she drowned. So then the grandmother was the one looking after them. Glory was about 18 months when we got her, and she couldn't walk, couldn't talk, and she weighed about 18 pounds, if I remember correctly. Teeny, teeny, tiny. We'll go to the next picture. Yeah, this is her with a grandmother and an auntie. So you can see just how tiny Glory is, and Blessing too. Just very malnourished. And the grandmother was very loving and kind to them, but just didn't have the resources to look after them. She was in the farm all day long. They'd be in the hut all by themselves all day long. Go to the next photo. So this is when we first got Blessing. She's 2 years older than our Jordan. So you can just see what lack of nourishment does to kids. I mean, teeny, teeny, tiny. Our Jordan is a big girl, but still, there's a huge difference. And when we got Glory, she had quite a lot of health issues. She had to spend a lot of time in the hospital. But we do praise God that she, within a month or two, quickly caught up. She started walking. She started talking, running around. Like, we first got Glory, she would just sit on your lap. She wouldn't, like, you know how, like, babies want to touch things and grab things. She did none of that. Used to just sitting all day long with no stimulation whatsoever. But amazingly, very quickly, she started to catch up. Let's see what the next picture is. This is her. I think we'd had her for like maybe 2 months at this point, and this was like the first time I'd seen her actually playing with something. We were sitting in church, and she was grabbing a pen and just kind of interested, and we were really happy about that. And now this is Glory today. She's a big girl. She's in school. She's doing fantastic. You would never know that she had any, like, delay in her speech or walk or anything like that. And her sister Blessing is doing really wonderful, too. We get to see her grandmother quite often. She'll come in and visit. She'll bring us corn from her farm, which is really wonderful that they keep that connection going. I think I have one more story for you. This is a little boy called Farawa who came to us probably about 7 years ago now, I think. And Farawa is from a Muslim village. Cameroon has about 20% Muslims, I believe, and often they have whole villages of them. And in their traditional beliefs, when a husband dies, often he has many wives, and when he dies, the wives have to spend some time in mourning. So Farawa was living with his grandparents, and when his grandfather died, we'll go to the next picture, his grandmother had to go into like 3 months of mourning. And I don't know if you can see, but she's actually laying on rocks. They put a thin mat on top of rocks so that she can really relish in her mourning, make it as miserable for her as possible. And then if you go to the next picture, she actually had holes in her roofs. And in Cameroon, we have torrential downpour, torrential rain. It's the rainforest after all. So it was to kind of make her life as miserable as possible. And it just kind of shows you the darkness and evil that many people are wrapped up in Cameroon and how they desperately need the light and love of Jesus. So she couldn't look after Farawa, and somebody contacted us and said, would you take him, even though he's a Muslim? And we said, sure, we'll take him. We'd love to bring him into our home. And Farawa's been with us for quite a few years now. He's surrendered his life to Christ. He's a lovely boy. And we really pray, there he is, we really pray that one day he will go back to his village and be a light there. You know, he can go back and speak to his people much better than we ever could. And we just hope that for all of our children, that they're just being raised up to be a light in Cameroon where there is a lot of darkness. And a last picture I believe I have. These are two kids that have kind of graduated out of Helping Hands. On the first picture there, Mary, she came to us as a 12-year-old. Her mother died actually in Nigeria from some of the separatist attacks that were going on there and came to us as a young lady. She's gone through university and now she has a job at a university as a secretary, and we're just so proud of her. She's completely supporting herself, worshiping, leading worship in her church and just doing really good. It's kind of like, praise God, this is what our goal at the start, and now we see her moving forward. And Blessing, who also was in the video speaking, he's finished his high school and he's in medical school. I think he has like 6 years left of medical school. So we're still supporting him. We're still there for him, just like a regular family would be. And he's doing fantastic too. So it's amazing to see where these kids have come from and where the Lord has brought them to. I wanted to share a verse with you. Now in Cameroon, we'll switch to the next slide. In Cameroon, if you're not educated, you'll either speak your village tongue, which is about 250 plus languages of those, or you'll speak pidgin English in the English zones, which is kind of a simplified form of English, but not really. It has its own grammar and structure, and it's a pretty awesome language. I'm going to read a verse for you from the Pidgin Bible. Hopefully you'll understand. Maybe you can tell it to me in English once I read it. Okay, it says, "The thief man, idi kam na naso, for thief and for kill, and for spoilam, for spoilam. Me I come, say make them get life plenty, plenty." What verse is that? Who can help me? John 10:10, the thief, he comes to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Anytime you repeat something in Cameroon, it's like an exclamation mark. So spoilam is to destroy. But me, I come, say, make them get life plenty, plenty, that they'll have life in abundance. And we see that in the lives of our children. Satan has really come to steal from them, to destroy them. But Jesus has come to give them life and life in abundance. What a wonderful testimony it is to the power of God in their lives through our wonderful staff that are raising up these kids. Just the light of Jesus, how it can make a difference in people's lives. I love last week Pastor mentioned about not chasing issues. And it can be overwhelming sometimes in Cameroon when you look around and see all the issues, the poverty, the malnutrition, just the darkness that there is all around. But we know we're not chasing the issues, we're chasing after the gospel. And as we shine the love and the light to our staff and through our Bible school to our children, we really believe and pray that these kids are going to be raised up to be a light in Cameroon, to be shining the love of God wherever they go. So thank you so much. I'm going to hand back over to Jake.
It's always wonderful, even myself, just kind of looking back and seeing where these kids are coming from and where they're going to, and just being encouraged, right? Just seeing God at work. And like Holly said, our goal is to really just bring that light into their lives, to let God do his thing and allow God to show up, as Pastor's been preaching the last 2 weeks as well. It's been encouraging to us to be able to sit under those messages and just seeing, reflecting back in our lives and just even looking back and seeing how has God showed up in our lives and our ministry and how he's going to continue to show up. We sang it this morning that he's not done yet, right? God's not done with what we're doing in Cameroon, no matter what the circumstances, the storms that are going on around us, the things that are happening even all over the world with this COVID thing, that he's not done with any of us, right? That God's still alive and active and he's ready to show himself faithful in our lives. So it's pretty cool to see and just kind of reminisce about. But I want to go back to kind of Helping Hands again and just kind of show you some pictures of what we've been doing with Helping Hands. The first few years we rented with Helping Hands, just starting a new and starting something fresh. We just rented a small house, started building up what we wanted. But our goal was always to provide a true home for these children, a home that wasn't looking like an institution, looking as a place that is just for like an orphanage. But when you enter this place, it felt like a home. It looked like a home. So we actually got a piece of land, and I'll share a little bit about that a little bit too. But we picked up this piece of land about 2004. This land, it was owned by the chief of the village that we went to. It's just outside of the city, about 4 or 5 miles. And when we came across this land, we just knew that this was the land God had for us. It's about 5 acres of land. And we just thought, okay, God, this is where you want us to develop that. So I'll share a little bit about the opposition that we went through, but kind of just to give you an idea of what we've done or what we're trying to do. is these two houses down below is kind of like a duplex situation, but each one has its own yard. And what we want to do is we want to have that home like a home. We have a mom and pa in the house. We have a boys' section of the house room, a girls' section of the room with aunties and uncles living there. And they can kind of develop that, wake up in the morning, they do their devotions together, they do everything together, get ready for school, and they're sent out. And they come back, they do their studying at the home, and yeah, they just live like a normal life. We're trying to teach them that lifestyle of just being welcome into a new family. Opposite that, since we didn't really want to have a cook in each house, we decided that we're going to do a big dining hall area for these children to gather together as a bigger family and be able to eat together. So that building up top, the half that's kind of just you see the roof, is the dining hall that we're going to probably look at as a big gathering section later on for big meetings or whatnot. We've done some crusades in there already, done big outreaches around the neighborhood, around the quarter area to invite people as well. And then this section over here that's white, the lower section, I think if you go to the next picture, it might show a close-up of that building. Oops, nope. So there's the front of the houses. And actually, we're going with the theme of the fruit of the Spirit at the children's home. So the first house here, we call it the House of Love. And as you walk in, there's a big mural that has love on it in the scripture. And then down we have the House of Joy. And our hope is to develop 9 houses that are going to be continuing the fruit of the Spirit. So we'll go to the next house. Okay, in this house, actually, we skipped a few houses. This is going to be the House of Goodness, the future house. Okay, we can go to the next one. And then back to this building. Down below, we have our main office that we're going to develop. So when people come, they can kind of have all the information they need for Winter Nations and Helping Hands Children's Home. And down the side, you see some 2 medium-sized windows down the side. That is a large nursery that we're going to be having for the smaller children to go in, have a safe area to play with a lot of toys and games and whatnot. And then behind that, we'll have some storerooms. The middle section of the building is actually going to be a large library and computer center that we're hoping as well to open up to the community. Finding a library that you can easily go in and read books and even check out books is very rare in Cameroon. So we want to use that as almost an outreach as well to the community to bring other children in to get used to even having time with our own children, but also to just be able to, yeah, come in and read and maybe work on the computers as well and receive that kind of service from the ministry as well. And then the last story up was actually kind of a bonus story we weren't expecting to build. As our vision years ago, we wanted just to build 2 stories. And as we were going up, we realized we built the roof to the main structure too tall. Let me kind of explain. I'm not a contractor or whatever you call it, builder by any means. I love it. Grew up on the farm. We always jerry-rigged things, built whatever. So I was actually the one that designed this building, not knowing really what I was doing. So we found out the roof was too tall. So we got this bonus room. The constructor came and said, or the builder came. The contractor said, hey, the foundation we put in, we can put in this bonus room. And so we want to make that kind of like a youth sanctuary so that the youth have their own place. They can get away from the younger kids, maybe put whatever up there for youth to do. That's still being developed and thought about. We can go to the next picture. So this is kind of just a global picture of the children's home. We can go to the next, guys. And these are all the girls. This was our last meeting with the children before we came back here to the States. Go back to the next one. That's all the boys, kind of just enjoying a time together before we leave. And then we'll go on to the next one. So this is actually inside of part of the library that we built, and they're just doing a small Bible study. Our focus is really to hit these children spiritually, physically, mentally, every aspect of their lives. And we really truly believe that God's word can change their lives, change where they come from, and transform their lives forever. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. This is inside the nursery. Before, we had it a bit more equipped than we do now, but some of the kids enjoying just some of the kids' toys, just being children and living life. In Cameroon, if a child doesn't really have something to do, they're usually worked on the farm, which isn't a bad thing to make kids work, but a child never really has an opportunity just to be a child. From the beginning, they're either stuck in the kitchen working with their mom, or they're cleaning the house or going to the farm. They're just pushed at I don't want to say child labor, but that kind of labor-intense lifestyle. So when we came up with Helping Hands, we said we want children as well, when they're working in the farm, to be able to also have a place that they can enjoy and come in and just be a child, be a kid. So this is the nursery we're developing. Go to the next picture. And then also, We're big on life skills as well. We want to train these kids that if they leave Helping Hands and don't become a doctor or a secretary out of college, that they're leaving with some kind of physical things that they can do as well. So we're teaching them construction, teaching them cement block laying. They're doing electricity there at the home. And even as we're doing painting, they're the ones that do all the painting at the children's home, just to give them that hands-on training. Again, in Cameroon, a lot of kids don't learn those things. It's a specialty that they go to from school to learn, but we want to teach each kid, hey, if you need to change a light bulb in the house, you don't have to call a technician, or if you want to lay a sidewalk or do things. So we want to give them life skills that they can learn. All right, we'll go to the next picture. And then even the little ones like to get in as well on mixing a little bit of the cement. So we can go to the next picture. So it's kind of just a picture just to show that our desire is to really build a home that even when they leave children's home, like they grow up and things, that they always know they have a home to come back to. A lot of people always ask, what happens when a child leaves Helping Hands? What happens next in their life? And we said, we really want to develop to be a home for them. That just like as my Josh came to Virginia, he knows he always has a home to come back to. When Seth leaves for Virginia, they always have a home. That when a child leaves, as these children go into these apprenticeships and to college, things like that, they always know they have a home to come back to. And it was interesting. We got one of the children. He wasn't in the pictures, but his name was Rabiu and actually came from a Muslim village as well. And as we pulled into our property, it's still fairly new, but as we pulled into the property, the kid just started laughing and just giggling. And I turned behind and I said, Rabiu, what's so funny? He said, this place looks like what I've read in books. He's never seen this kind of buildings or construction because he came from a village that didn't really have anything. And he was just laughing and giggling that this looks like almost like a picture book to him. So it was really interesting to see. We can go to the next picture. All right. So with Winter Nations in Cameroon, we had the idea that we want to develop the idea of Cameroonians helping Cameroonians as well. Not just relying that, okay, this is a ministry that's run by Westerners, that just to rely on the West for their funding. But we wanted to start different social businesses as well that could not only provide a business in town, but that will support the ministry, it will support the children's home, but also will promote what God is doing in Cameroon. It gives an opportunity for people to come and see what is happening. So we started a car wash to start with. We had some 3 or 4 car washes going in town, and because of the crisis, we shut those down. But we have Helping Hands Meat Market that's still going in Bamenda. You can take the next picture. We have 3 staff that are working there, and it was kind of funny how we developed this. We had a butcher that came from Missouri that we met, and we pulled him aside. We said, hey, you're a butcher. We never butcher anything, but pork is really hard to find in Cameroon, or good pork. You can find it underneath the sun, maybe rotting or whatever, but could you kill a pig for us? We want some sausage. We want some good American sausage. And he looked at us and said, no, I won't kill a pig for you, but I'll teach you how to butcher a pig yourself. So we actually learned from some other missionary friends. We butchered a pig. They taught us how to make bratwurst, Italian, all this. All the other missionaries started finding out we had all this nice American-type sausage or German sausage, whatever. And they said, we want some of this as well. And so a little light bulb went off in my head and said, this would be a good social business to start. So you can go to the next picture. And so we started Helping Hands Meat Market, and it's been thriving since. It's been a blessing to have good quality, safe meat to be able to buy, to be able to promote the ministry, to give good, solid jobs in Cameroon, but also to teach Cameroonians that we want Cameroonians helping Cameroonians. So we'll go to the next picture. Faith Bible College is another aspect of the Ministry of Winter Nations. You see our motto down at the bottom. It says, advancing, equipping, and strengthening. Actually, I think it's supposed to say advancing, equipping, and commissioning. Maybe my logo was a bit wrong, or maybe we changed it since. But our goal with Faith Bible College is that we wanted to go alongside churches in Cameroon, and we wanted to advance, we wanted to equip, we wanted to strengthen, we wanted to commission people back into their churches. But our first year in Cameroon, we were actually living with a pastor, and we wake up every morning, they do family devotions in Cameroon together. You sit around a table after breakfast, and you share the Word of God. And so it was my turn to share that morning, share a devotion. So as we're sitting there, I kind of noticed that pastors and things are just not trained very well in Cameroon. So I opened up my Bible, act like I knew where I was going, and I said, okay, let's turn to the book of Hezekiah. So the pastor immediately opened up his Bible. He's flipping through. And I said, Hezekiah is in the Old Testament. So he's flipping through, looking. He could not find the book of Hezekiah. Now, hopefully you know Hezekiah was a king and is not a book of the Bible. If you don't, there you go, the book. There is no book of Hezekiah. So we notice and seeing the true needing of discipleship and training in Cameroon, not just for local pastors, but for the church in itself. There's a lot of Nigerian influences. If you've heard anything about Nigerian, there's a lot of misled concepts of the Bible, and it's all about profit and what the man of God can do so that you can benefit his life and his life only. So we wanted to train people up, and then we can go to the next picture. So it's a pretty intense Bible school. It's a three-year program that they go through. It's a night Bible school. We wanted to allow it to be an opportunity for even business people during the day. They could do their job and then come to at the night. You can go to the next picture. And, yeah, we've just been training them up. And then we have our commissioning service or our graduation ceremony that then we commission them back into their churches, that no matter if they're just going back as a normal layman or going back as a children's worker, a pastor, some are going back as evangelists on the road as like bus evangelists or whatever, we want to commission them back into their churches and to really, equip them in that way. So these are just a few pictures of the Bible school. And it's been a great testimony to us, too, hearing and seeing the lives that are being changed through the Bible school. And just, again, giving God glory for that and knowing that we can just be part of another aspect of what God has called us to do. So I think our time is almost out, but I would like to just share a little bit as well in the Word of God with us this morning, if we can be allowed to. But it's always encouraging to me that as we share like this, but also to look into the Word of God, so as we leave here, we're challenged ourselves as well. So I don't know if you guys ever heard of the missionary William Carey, but he was a missionary back in the day to India. And as he was starting his missions, he would go around to churches, maybe raising support, doing what he went. But he, in one of his sermons, he made this quote that I'd like to share with us this morning. And it says, "Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things for God, attempt great things for God." You see, William Carey was an extraordinary man, or an ordinary man with an extraordinary faith. When I see and read about William Carey, I'm just challenged myself, because his passion for missions was expressed solely through this statement that he made. Now in Ephesians, if you have your Bibles this morning, let's just look quickly at Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to read with us, or for us, verses 14 down to 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And it says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father." Whoops, I covered up with my sticky note. "From whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength." Whoops, sorry. "Rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, this is the scripture I want to kind of hit on this morning. I was just leading up to it. It says, "Now to him who is able," is speaking of God himself, "who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So quickly here this morning, I want to just point out two things that this scripture tells us this morning. Firstly, it tells us that it says that God can do far more than what we can ask or think of. And you know, God does it, and when he does it abundantly. See, God is a God that can do great things. And as we reflect back and we look at what God's doing in Cameroon, it's only great things what he's doing. It's not by our power, it's not by what we've done, it's not by our abilities or anything, but it's because of what God is doing in Cameroon. God is a great God, and he can do great things. Not just in Cameroon, but here in Lynchburg as well. He can do great things in your life. You just have to open up and allow him to do it. You have to be willing to accept that. When we talk about hearing and seeing that God can do these great things, is he really willing to do it? Is he really willing to do it in our lives? And it seems to be Paul's reason, as he points out here in the scripture, that God is able to do this, but according to the power that's at work within us. God can do this in our lives, but it's only according to the power that's working in our lives, what we allow God to do. You see, his point says that we need to pray, we need to ask, we need to be in tune with God so that he can work in us and through us. And he's going to do it more, far, far more than what we can ever think or imagine. You know, I love what Pastor's been speaking on, that God is ready to show up in our lives. And he's ready for us to just activate that ability for him to show up in our lives. I believe that we can put a stopping point for God to show up in our lives by not allowing him to do or allowing our relationship to be built on his. You see, the connection has to be there. In James, it tells us that God is ready. As we draw near to God, he's going to draw near to us. And what a promise of God that is. To see that as the closer I get to God, the closer he's getting to me. You know, it's a wonderful thing to see. There's no limits. There's nothing can hold us back when we really, truly believe what God says. And in Galatians, it says, let us not grow weary of doing good, but in due season, we will reap if we don't give up. You see, in the ministry in Cameroon, where it's at today wasn't easy to get there. But as we look back and we see God showing up each moment of the time in this ministry, it's been great to just sit back and say, God, you're so great. You're wonderful. You're doing far more than what we've ever asked for or what we even imagined. Quick testimony, when we were raising money for our first building, we were just ready to be on this land. We said, Lord, we want to raise, I think it was like $30,000 to build this first house. No, we said we want $15,000 because it took $30,000 to build the two complexes, duplexes, I mean. So we said, Lord, we want $15,000 to build this first house. Let's move out of the rented home. We'll move in with no paint, just brick walls, and let's get in there, Lord. This is what we want to do. And we said, Lord, we want to be in there by the new year. This was June. So God showed up, and he raised $30,000 to complete the whole thing, surprised us. We're able to move out there, get both of the houses built in a way that those children can go. Another thing was, is when we were buying this land, there was a lot of issues. As I said, we bought it from the chief of the village. And the chief of the village, we thought, was the safest and best way to go. You had nobody else to worry about, think about. He owned the land. Let's go to the chief of the village. Lo and behold, we found out that the chief has, council members below him, like elders of the Fon's palace, the chief's palace. And we never even knew that there was this whole other group of people. And as he was receiving money from us, these guys wanted their share as well. So they put an injunction on the land that we were buying from the chief and said, no way can you proceed at buying this land until you give us what we want as well. And they like doubled the price of the land at that time. We said, we can't do that. So we began really just having meetings with them, one meeting after another, and it was getting exhausting. It was getting tiring to really see what's going to happen with this land. And we even began to like kind of lose faith. And Lord, is this really the land that you had for us? And we had a team that came out. And as we went out, we wanted to show them the land we had. And we shared what's been going on with the council, with the chief's council and whatnot. And I remember that day, it really just had a turning point in our lives because the pastor of that team looked at us and said, do you truly believe God has called you this land? We said, we sure do. I mean, there was no doubt. He said, then we need to stand and believe that God's going to give you this land, that God will show up and give us this land. So we stood there, we prayed, we gathered together, and we just confessed that God was going to give us that land. And from that point on, it was like almost like a turning point of these village elders, just their respect towards us. Because we were getting word that, okay, we know how Americans do. They say they're going to do an orphanage thing. They're raising money. They'll exploit our land. They want to just make money in Cameroon. But it was like a turning point, and they began to have compassion on what our ministry was doing in Cameroon. Even to the point that we had a meeting, they called us all together. It was like a village, congratulations, welcome to the village. And they gave me a village name. And it was like Tatu Windu. That was my village name. It was the father of this certain waterfall out by where the orphanage is at. So it was like, you're the one in charge of this area now. And it was just kind of a cool thing to see how God went far above what we could ever think or imagine. That all we had to do was continue to just believe and have faith and have that relationship with God and continue to draw close to him and what he knew or what we knew God had called us to do. And then sometimes we get so worried, we get so concerned of what's going on around us that this physical, this little pea brain can get distracted and lose focus that God's got it. God really can show up at any moment that we just have to continue to believe and to move forward. I love what Pastor said again last week. Sorry, I keep regurgitating your message, but last week. But just that image of the children of Israel, right? They had victory before they had the victory. And that's how God moves. That's how God does things. That's what even this scripture is saying, that we expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. You know, I think it was purposeful how William Carey put this scripture. He didn't say attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. He said expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And that's what the children of Israel did. They expected great things from God. So then they attempted. They walked around. We heard the story last week. They had that victory. And that's what I'm challenged with in my life as a missionary, is that we need to know that God has the victory even before the victory or the battle's won. That we need to keep pushing. We need to know that God has given us that land, and we knew it at that point, and we said it was a boost of faith, and it got our minds back on track. Amen? God wants our all. He wants our everything. He wants to show up in our lives. Jeremiah 32:27 says this, I am the Lord, the God of all the people of the world. Is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? You know, some people look at the Old Testament and say, well, that was Old Testament. You know, God's word is true today. That there's nothing too difficult for God, even today, on this July, whatever date it is, here in Lynchburg, Virginia. You see, since then, God has just surpassed everything that we ever imagined what Winter Nations would be at right now, with just his faithfulness, showing us his faithfulness. And God is waiting for us. He's waiting for us to make a move. Amen? So the first thing that it says here, that's my first point, is that God can do far more than what we can ever ask or imagine. Don't worry, my second point is very short. Thank you. So it says, now to him, I just want to read that scripture again. It says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. And remember, that's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, according to Ephesians 1. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all the generations forever and ever. Lastly, Paul says here, he tells us that all everything we do in this life should bring glory to God. Everything we do, everything that we say, every action I make, every moment that I'm living should be giving glory to God. You see, folks, it's all about him. It's not about Jake. When I look back and I see a farm boy from Texas, not educated, well, a bit educated, but I mean, we went to Bible school. I can jerry-rig anything. I can duct tape anything. But seeing how God has used us to start an orphanage, to begin working in these children's lives, to run a Bible school, to raise and teach up believers in the churches of Cameroon, to commission them back in, to make the church more effective in Cameroon, to see that from us, it's like, there's no way. That's only God and only him that can be given glory for it. We're so amazed with it. So remember that God can, see, that was a short second point, right? So remember that first, that God can do far more than what we can ever think or imagine. And then secondly, make sure that we're always giving him all the glory and honor for what he does. So church, expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Amen. I love the saying that as you leave this church, I've seen it in a few churches in America, but I love it where it says you're now entering the mission field. You know, we're missionaries in Cameroon. You guys are missionaries here in Lynchburg. Well, I'm here in Lynchburg. I'm a missionary in Lynchburg. We have a calling on our lives that we need to begin attempting great things for God because he's ready to show up in our lives. Amen? So I want to end with two questions for you this morning. First question is, what has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? Has he called you to share with somebody in your workplace or at school if you're going to university or in high school or wherever you're at? Has he called you to go on the mission field? Has he called you to start a small group? You fill in the blank. Has he called you to do something? What has God called you to do? And the second question I want to leave you with this morning is, what is stopping you from doing it? What is stopping you from doing it? If God has called you to it, what is stopping you from doing it? Let's be a people that take a leap to know that we can trust in God. I think we've all seen the trust fall, right? We should trustfully fall into the hands of our Savior and know that we can do something for him. We can allow him to show up. So, church, expect great things for God. Attempt great things for him. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you because you are good. You are faithful, Lord, and you're ready to show up in our lives. Lord, you do show up in our lives. God, we thank you because you are willing and ready, Father God, just to continue to show your faithfulness, your love, your mercy, your grace on each one of us, Lord. No matter where we're coming from, what our background is, what we've done yesterday, what we even did before coming to church, Lord, you're there to show your faithfulness. So, Lord, we just ask, Father God, that each one of our hearts this morning, Lord, will just be open to receive who you are truly in our lives, Lord. That, God, we can just rest knowing, God, that you are a faithful, good, good Father. So, Lord, we just bless you this morning just for your word, Father God, that, Lord, we can know and expect great things from you, Father, Lord, in our lives. God, that not only that we can expect those things, Lord, but we can begin to attempt great things for you, God. Let us be bold Christians for you, Father, Lord. Let us be bold children of yours, Father God, as we truly leave this church, Lord, seeing this as a mission field, Father God. that, Lord, everywhere we go, Lord, we want to speak your truth. We want to live out your word. We want to show your faithfulness in our lives, Lord. Let us be that light, Father God, no matter where we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I just want to end by saying we do have a table behind that just has a little bit more information about us. We are looking for monthly sponsors for the children's home. If you want to become a sponsor monthly with the children's home, it's kind of like a compassion type situation. You can find that back there. Also with us, we're looking for financial partners with us every month. But most importantly, we're looking for prayer partners. We believe in the power of prayer. We know prayer works, and we need you guys to be praying for us. So I hope each one of you in here will become a daily prayer partner for us. And I want to tell you one way to remember how to pray for us in Cameroon and the ministry in Cameroon. Remember at the beginning of the message, I mentioned that Cameroon, man, I'm not making a very good Africa, but Cameroon looks like this, and Cameroon is the armpit of Africa. And I believe in here everybody wears deodorant. If you don't, that's fine with you, but every day you're putting on your deodorant, because I think that's a daily activity we do. Pray for us. Remember Cameroon. It's a good way just to remember us daily. But please, we'll be in the back. I want to say a huge thanks again to Pastor Ken and Becky for opening up the church to us to share with you guys. It's a blessing to be able to do it. And we just want to say thank you so much for that. So praise God. Really, I didn't. Actually, I kind of skipped over. I didn't talk about it. Cameroon right now is in a major crisis. They've been at kind of not a civil war, but kind of a civil war for the past 5+ years. Since we went back in 2016, it was just as things were starting to happen. Cameroon is actually by one of the few bilingual countries in the world, and they're split up between the English side and the French side, and the English side of Cameroon has always been suppressed. They've always been kind of put under the rug, and everything, whoops, sorry, thank you all. Everything has been given more to the French side. They have the best jobs, they have the best positions in the government, things like that. And so all this started as a kind of a peaceful protest in Cameroon. And when this peaceful protest happened, the government came in heavy-handed, used heavy force, things like that, and things had changed and kind of gotten worse from there. And so it just became kind of a war. We actually had to move the children's home out of the location. We had to land, move into town, so we're just back renting the house right now in town. And our family actually 2 years ago, so we stood as much as we could in Bamenda, but for the safety of the ministry and our staff and our family, we had to also move out of Bamenda because of the uprising of kidnapping and the killings that were going on around. So we moved to the city as well, remotely doing ministry from there. I was able to go back once a week into Bamenda and just touch base with the staff and things like that. So really, that's a huge need or huge concern, I guess. What was the question? Huge what? What's the biggest challenge? The biggest challenge we have right now is we want to see this crisis finish up. We want to see the children's home get back out to where they belong. We want to be able to go back after furlough, to go back to Bamenda and live where we've lived for the past so many years, and to be able to see God continue to work in our lives. But with all that being said, the biggest challenge with all that is it's put a bit of a financial strain on the ministry. And so that's really the biggest challenge, is to get over that hump and to see where God's going to take us next. But pray for Cameroon. Cameroon is in kind of a messy place right now, so they need Jesus, and this is a time for the Bible school still functioning, children's home still functioning, and it's a time for believers to really stand up and shine that light and change the situation there. So thank you.
I just had one other question. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you have an accent that Holly doesn't?
That's a funny way of putting it. All right, I get my accent because I grew up here in America. But Holly gets her non-accent. She's actually from England and grew up as a missionary child in Slovakia. And then once we got married, she spent most of her time here. So she's got kind of an Australian accent, but she is British. So sorry if anybody from England's listening. Maybe that was a bad thing to say, but yeah, that's where she gets her accent from.